Thank you. I consider it to be a privilege to be the speaker that comes right before the cocktails. I think you'll find out soon that I'm the appropriate choice for that. I hope you all have had a fantastic day. I'm so excited to be here. Can everyone hear me all right? Hear me good? Yeah, good. Thank you for coming to the party. This is like the pre-party, let's think of it that way, before we get started and do some networking. I'm really, really excited to be here. I love coming to Vegas for conferences and to meet all kinds of people, and this is an awesome conference. So I'll tell you a little bit about me and what I do. We teased some fun facts that I can share at dinner tonight if you're at my table for one of the networking dinners. I can give you a little preview of the full story. I'm Phil Palin, originally from Canada. Now I live in LA. I'm a brand strategist, and my work is focused on two things. I help people brand, and I help people promote their brands on social media. I specialize in personal branding. So my clients are primarily individuals, startups, sometimes companies, if it's a fun project. I have two rules: no boring projects and no divas. I have a strict no diva policy if you read my website. I actually say that. So my clients are sharks and entrepreneurs on Shark Tank. I've worked on American Idol, Dancing with the Stars, The X Factor, Project Runway, MasterChef Junior. Are you impressed yet? Because I can keep listing them. No. So I get to, obviously living in LA, I get to work with a lot of celebrity entertainment brands, but for me, it's just as exciting to work with individuals who are looking to start something brand new, that have a really good idea and want to build something to show for it. So I wrote a book, which you can see here, called Shut Up and Tweet. I launched this in 2014 at the California Women's Conference. And I believe that Twitter is still one of the most important social media platforms to be on to access a targeted audience. So we'll talk about that towards the end of my talk today. And I'll leave some time for questions. So I told you a little bit about my clients in LA, in New York. I work with clients in Europe and Asia and all over the place. I also travel a lot and do a number of talks. I just got back from Japan. I head to back to Asia and England and Finland and all kinds of fun places. The occasional time I'll get a call, panicked, from Access Hollywood, and they'll say, "Phil, Kylie Jenner just got lip injections. We need you to Skype in, or we need you to come into the studio and give a comment on how this affects the Kardashian brand." Very hard-hitting stuff. So occasionally I pop up on TV talking as a celebrity brand expert. I've done Kardashians, Justin Bieber. I did Oprah a few weeks ago. I just got off the plane here a few hours ago and gave a comment as an expert in Canada on a very high-profile, controversial case. So you never really know. I just kind of wake up and roll with the punches. But I love my job. I have the best job in the world, and I get to share that with you today. Most recently, I launched my podcast called No Filter, and that's been a lot of fun. So having really interesting conversations with clients and friends and people I get to meet in this job, and then being able to share that with people, it's been a lot of fun. That's enough about me. Let's talk about the process. Let's get right to the good stuff. I want to talk about the process that I follow when I'm building a brand, and how that works in conjunction or in relation to your social media strategy. I kind of think of this stuff in three phases. You know, people come to me with an idea with nothing to show for it, or maybe they've built a business or a brand over the course of a decade and say, "Phil, I haven't updated my website," or it's really outdated. So sometimes we're renovating the brand. Regardless of where you're at, I think of this in three steps. First, we have to position your brand. Now, I have a very simple formula that I'm going to share with you today on how to think about that. Once we've positioned your brand, then we build it. We build something to show for it. And I'll break down the steps of that as well. And in this order, we position, build, and then we promote your brand using intelligent online and social media strategy. That's my process. And I'll probably be throwing a lot of information at you over the next few minutes because I'm not gonna make you wait here longer than you need to because you're all thinking about cocktails. I am too. So I've actually prepared, knowing that I was the last person of the day, I've already gone ahead and prepared notes for you based on my talk. So you get to sit there and relax, kick back. I've done all the hard work for you. You're welcome. So you can get those. I made a little blue banner on my website, philpalin.co. If you click that top banner at the top now, or I won't be offended if you're on your phone, or make a note to do that when you get back to your rooms, I'll make that available for the next few days on my site, and you can download my cheat sheet on all the stuff that I'm going to throw at you today. And again, my website is philpalin.co. Let's do this. Let's jump right into it. I want to talk about that first step that I outlined, positioning your brand. Whether you're, as I mentioned, whether you're launching something from scratch, you've got a great idea and you finally figured out what you're passionate about and you want to go out there and do it, or you're simply taking inventory of what you've been building and now it's time to refocus and look at what's working and what's not. Positioning your brand nowadays means standing out from the crowd. This has come up a few times throughout the day, the idea of standing out or rising above the noise. The good news is there's a lot of mediocrity out there. There's a lot of crap. There's a lot of average people. Sorry, but it's true. And my hope and wish is that everyone in this room is not one of those people. And I'll give you tips, tangible takeaways today to make sure you're not one of those people. We'll audit what you've created. Let's look critically at what you have out there that represents you. My goal, especially, you know, I've learned this working with people in the entertainment business. There's a lot of competition, not just in entertainment, but in every industry. And with the democratization of media, now it's much harder to stand out because everyone is now a photographer on Instagram. As of yesterday, I'm now a podcaster or a blogger or self-proclaimed expert at whatever I've decided. We use the term expert very loosely, by the way, in the entertainment business. Well, I was like, okay, an expert, really? Okay, if you believe that. So the point is build your online presence so that it represents you accurately and that it helps you stand out from the noise. I believe the best online branding is when we recreate the in-person experience as closely as possible. And let's dissect that today. Before you figure out exactly what you're gonna do, we need to figure out how we're going to position it so that it aligns with our goals, it aligns with our passions, and aligns with what people want. So my formula for positioning your brand is very simple. Let's not make this more complicated than it needs to be. It's something you love with something others need. Ideally, they need it so much that they're willing to pay money for it. That's the goal. Something that you're passionate about, that's great. It's a hobby. It's only a brand if you pair it with something people need. And this is absolutely critical, because if you position yourself properly, it means that you spend a lot less time and money on advertising and promoting. If there's built-in, if you're satisfying a need, like every good business does, it's gonna work in your favor from the moment you start, as long as you've positioned all of your building blocks appropriately. I learned this, and I'm really passionate about this, because as a little teaser as we started, you heard, I moved out to LA after I finished grad school about 5 years ago. I applied to a bunch of agencies. I was in the running to become Charlie Sheen's social media intern right out of grad school. Out of 90,000 people, I made it to the top 50. And all from a social media campaign that I created. I did over 100 TV, radio interviews. Ended up dropping out. Actually, I was on the cover of the Toronto Star back home, and it said, "Sorry, Sheen, hello, Seacrest." And the VP at Ryan Seacrest called me, and I thought he was gonna call me to congratulate me. No, he said, "Phil, what is going on?" And I was like, "What? What do you mean?" You know, I had just announced it back then. It was like Ustream. I was, you know, just like, I'm moving to LA and I'm interning for Ryan Seacrest. And then they had hundreds of Google alerts connecting Charlie Sheen and Ryan Seacrest, which they weren't happy about. Understandably so. So I actually got fired even before I started the job. Applied to agencies, couldn't get a job. So I was like, you know what? I gotta pay rent next month. So let's figure out how I can help people with something they need. I started helping people with websites, eventually logos, and kind of developing my methodology, my approach to all of this as I went along the way. Now I own an agency and travel all over the place. Still keep it very small because that's what I enjoy. But I learned this by experiencing it, how important it is to satisfy a need. Whether you're a personal brand or a product, you must be positioned to satisfy a need. This is my very simple formula for positioning your brand. Not only do we have to think about the formula, we have to think about your goals. Sometimes people come to me, they're really excited about their ideas. Other people come to me and they're panicked. They have a crazy timeline. The host of X Factor in New Zealand called me a month out from his first show date and was like, "Phil, I hear you're the guy to call to help me how to, teach me how to tweet." And he was like, "I've never sent a tweet before, and I only have a month before we go to air." I was like, "Okay, challenge accepted." So I've worked on all kinds of interesting projects, but before we can start anything, you need to be crystal clear on exactly what your goal is. And I've given some example goals of what I hear most often: attract opportunity, establish credibility, increase visibility, build an audience. None of those are right or wrong. They're all great because they're specific. Whatever your goal is, write it down on a piece of paper, know it, stay true to it, and be specific. The more specific you are, the more people can help you get there. So we've talked a little bit about positioning your brand. Now I want to talk about the fun visual stuff. I have the attention span of a gnat. So this is my favorite part, because it's visual, especially at this time of day. It's fun to look at pictures. So we've talked about positioning. Let's talk about building your brand. This is when we build something to show for it. And people say, "Phil, what are the steps for this?" And oh boy, I have a system for it, like I do for everything. Photography, your brand identity, your website, and your social profiles. Typically in that order, because they build on each other. And then sometimes people will say to me, "That all sounds great, but I may not have the time or the money to fully develop all of those things. What's the most important?" In my opinion, the most important and what you should start with now in 2016 is photography. It is highly, highly underrated. The most important people in my business are my photographers. And I have photographers all around the world that I maintain great relationships with, that have the Phil stamp of approval, because they make what we do look good. And it's what helps you stand out on the internet. So these are the steps to building your brand. Like I said, let's look at some examples, because you can hear it, but it's easier if I show you some recent projects that we've been up to. That kind of walk you through all the different elements, and I can explain those as we go. Here's my friend and client, Chandresh. He is a spiritual advisor based in LA, travels between LA and New York and Europe. This was his website when he came to me, and I was like, "Okay, cool, we can work with that." This was his headshot, and I was like, "Okay, you look nice. I like that shirt, but what I really don't like is the white background, because it's boring, super boring, right? Because we're so quiet." By a show of hands, can we agree that that's boring? Okay, good, we agree. This is good news. So he was like, "Okay, Phil, I trust you." And I love when people say that. "Phil, I trust you. That means I can do my best work." So I said, "I love the shirt. I hate everything else. You got a nice face, so we'll keep your face." No, yeah. Let's keep the shirt, but let's show people who you are. Because the best online branding is when we recreate the in-person experience as closely as possible. And I get nothing from that photo other than a boring white background. Looks like this looks like a product shot, you know, it makes no sense. So out with that. He's like, oh boy, here we go. So I sent him to do a photo shoot. And I said to him and I said to the photographer, I need to get a sense of who you are and what you're all about from these photos. Because on the internet, we don't have the luxury of being face-to-face. Being face-to-face is a luxury. In fact, it's very rare for me nowadays to be face-to-face with clients because of my schedule and because of, you know, where people are working from. I can work from anywhere, so I do. And, you know, it's a luxury. So now, more often than not, we are consuming each other through a medium, through Skype, through the phone. So we lose some of those nuances that we have when we have the luxury of being face-to-face. Your personality, your sense of humor sometimes, a little, you know, facial expressions. So my job, my mission is to recreate what makes you unique, content and personality, online. And so when we're photographing you, I'm trying to figure out how do we explain to people who you are and why they should care and make a very strong first impression right off the bat. Because that's all we have. Internet users are the worst. Shortest attention spans. I have your attention, and I've already clicked off, and I'm watching a viral kitty video of a cat dressed as a shark on a Roomba. You've lost me forever. So, you know, we really need to hit them with something strong. And I think of this as being in the business of first impressions, crafting first impressions. And it's a lot of fun. So you'll see some of the shots that we got out of a photo shoot that we did in LA. Once I've got some awesome photos that I can use later on, then we move on to your brand identity. Sometimes people mix brand identity and brand identity and logo. Sometimes people mix those up. Your brand identity is not the same thing as your logo, okay? Your logo is this, a logo, but actually your brand identity has about 6 or 7 other elements associated with it, and if all of these pieces are consistent, it's gonna help you. So showing you some applications of the logo we designed for him, and then here are multiple compositions, alternate compositions of his logo that we use for different usages. You just saw the stamp. We have it as a stamp or an embosser. One of these is used as his email signature, print and web. We're set up and ready to apply the logo that we create in different environments, which we find really helpful. We don't just choose 2 random colors. Everything we do is based on you, based on your philosophy, based on what is inspired from what you're passionate about. So we always choose colors with some thought, and we stay consistent with the colors and the typography. So this gives you an example of we find fonts that we can install on your computer and use for print usage, but usually we also find fonts that are either Google Fonts or Typekit are available for you to use online so that your brand is nice and consistent across every platform. This is my favorite part of the brand identity process. Not just figuring out your brand, but really examining thoroughly what makes you unique and building a visual identity for that. I call these your sub-brands. Usually there's 1 or 2 aspects or elements of your brand that we create a visual identity for. For Chandresh, he travels between 3 different places. So we created an icon that he can use in his email signature and on his website, and for whatever else he does, this is his icon, he owns it. He owns the design and it's consistent with his brand. He doesn't just lift it offline, use something else that someone created. Everything is branded and consistent and unique and memorable. If you go to my website, you'll see on the homepage, where am I now? Because it changes all the time. I changed that on my site because it's something that makes me unique. My locations, Chandresh's locations, make him unique. It's a unique part of his business that I think is worthy of acknowledging as part of what he does. The other thing are his services, how he works with individuals. We don't just slap the word up there and that's boring. You know, we have an icon, we have a visual presence associated with everything that he does. And then we get to pull it all together, which is a lot of fun. I always love this part. It's like Christmas. You get to pull all the pieces together and boom, there's the gift. So let's talk about another case study. Really quickly, I won't spend as much time on this one because I want to leave time for questions. This is Wynn Claybaugh. Wynn is one of the founders of Paul Mitchell Schools, the hair brand, but the schools division of the brand. He's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. And this was his website, which was not as nice as Wynn. But I love that. People are always scared to show me their websites because they know I'm opinionated and I'm honest, but I'm sweet. A mix of both of those things. People are always terrified. They hand me their business card. They're like, oh, that's my business card. Don't look at it. Don't look at it. You know, there's my website, but don't look. I'm working on a new one. I'm like, don't worry. It's okay. I'm never happy with my site. As long as my clients are happy, you know, we never like our own stuff. It's just how it is. For Wynn, though, I mean, I don't think any of us like this. He really needed an upgrade. And that is a perfect opportunity for me to come in and, again, evaluate how we can make this not better, it's more than that, how we can make it true to what he has going on in real life and how we communicate that on the web. Your website, your online brand, is not literally what we know it as. It's actually more of an exercise in figuring out how we communicate you. And I don't think any of us are the same person we were 10 years ago, so your website shouldn't stay the same either. Nor your headshot. Your glam shot from 2002 is no longer relevant. I hate to break it to you. So Wynn, this was his site, and that was his new brand, kind of put together after we did some photos and designed his logo. And I'll walk you through the steps pretty quick. Different compositions of his logo, depending on how he wanted to use them. Color, or lack thereof in this case. We went more with textures for Wynn's brand, more of an industrial vibe. Consistent typography. Print and web setups, layouts. This becomes, you know, we don't really do, I mean, my clients don't come to me with a massive budget ever and say, Phil, I have lots of money, let's spend it. That's never happened. I don't think it will happen. And I'm totally okay with that. So instead of building this, you know, very complex brand guidelines booklet, we give you a brand board is what we call it, which is all of these pieces that I've separated out for the purpose of this presentation. But I always like to give you a reference so that everything moving forward, you can open this up. I open mine up every time I do anything. Even if I'm writing a blog, sometimes I need inspiration. This is your visual system, your guide. So I think you get the picture. For Wynn, he had so many projects on the go. He had Paul Mitchell, he had a podcast, he's an author. He had so many projects, many of them not connected. So I said to Wynn, okay, we will create a visual system for you with intention in that we'll take all of these different projects and make them feel like they're part of the same family. So that was really the project. Those are two quick examples I can give you, and I'm rolling out some new ones in the next few weeks on my website. So if you found that fun, I'll have some new ones for you in a few weeks. Again, here are the steps, and I've given you some quick tips on my cheat sheet on my website. So everything that I've kind of conveyed to you, I've already put in notes for you. So photography, brand identity, website, social media profiles. In that order, it will make your life a lot easier so you're not having to do things twice. Okay, so we've talked about positioning your brand, something you love with something others need. Satisfying a need like every good business does. We've also talked about building your brand, building something to show for this, building the house. I often use real estate analogies because they make sense. We can't take a house to market if it doesn't have a roof. Because you'll get half the value for it, half the value you deserve. Your brand is exactly the same way. So if your brand doesn't have, if your house doesn't have a roof on it, we gotta stage it and make it look cute so people notice and pay you money. So we've crossed that bridge now from build to promote. How do we promote this beautiful thing that we've built? Again, clients don't come to me and say, Phil, oh my God, I have all this money, let's spend it. The corporate world for me is this just not my world, which is ironic because I get hired a lot to speak at corporate conferences because I think they're like, this little punk, you know, is a breath of fresh air. It's just not my world. I've never worked for an agency. I've only ever done my own thing and developed a way to look at this in a simplified, systematic way that makes sense for everyone. A few months ago, we went to Japan, and I was really out of my element. I was speaking at iMedia Summit in Miyazaki, Japan. They flew me in. It was all these, you know, 300 senior internet marketers. It was so quiet, and then my talk was being translated. So their audience, this is a pretty quiet audience, but I mean, Japan, you guys would be like a rowdy group compared to how quiet they are in Japan. So quiet that I could actually hear them translating my talk. We all wore translators like we were at the UN. And they're translating our talk. And of course, I think, and my mom's here, she came with me. I think that was just for us. Everyone else was Japanese but us. Like, thanks, guys. Yeah, so I could hear them translating me in their ears, but it's so quiet. And unlike this, not to like compare here, but in Japan, when it was a marketing conference, just to be clear, it wasn't Project Runway, but they had a runway and a light show and music, this whole thing that played. I was like, oh boy, I like attention, but not this much. Like, it walked in. So it's always different. It's always different. But we're crossed. That was a tangent. Can you tell it's almost the end of the day? So I'll continue here talking about promoting your brand. Let's talk about Twitter because I love Twitter. I love it so much that I wrote a book about it. Because I believe it is still, we have lots of social media platforms out there, but it is still the best platform to access a targeted audience for free. So let's dissect your social media profiles. We'll use Twitter as an example, and we'll talk about content. We'll talk about this stuff before we get to some questions. Just looking at how your profiles are set up can give you some insight on how we communicate your brand and what we've built. Your name, this seems basic, but put your name as your name on Twitter. Some people will just put their first name or their last name or leave out a space, but this is what people in the name field, this is what people are typing into Twitter search to find you. And if it's different from, you wouldn't believe, I mean, you're like, Phil, I know, we get that, that's pretty basic, but a lot of people mess this up, so I mention it. Whatever your name is for your brand or for your person, make sure it's consistent with what people what you have listed and what people search. Your social media bio. I have a whole chapter dedicated to this because it's so much fun. People have really bad social media bios. Like, you know, father, you know, I love, you know, father, inspiration, love long walks on the beach, like all this descriptive crap. You know, they usually have three descriptive words. And I'm like, no one cares about that. That's boring. If your bio's boring, I'm going to skim over it and find someone else more interesting. So I have a formula for this. You guys are shocked. I have a formula for writing your social media bio, and this is going to help you. Two sentences. First sentence, who are you, and why should I care? You can answer it in one sentence. Who are you, and why should I care? Second sentence, give me a flavor of your personality. Okay, and that sentence is harder. So sentence number one, who are you? Why should I care? Sentence number two, give me an indication, a flavor of your personality. So mine is brand strategist for public figures, experts, and entrepreneurs. It tells you who I am and why you should care. My second sentence is, if your baby's ugly, it's my job to tell you. And that happens offline and online, a little bit of laughter. Now, some people are wildly offended by it, and that's usually a good indication that we might not get along or work well together. So, but it does exactly what, did you see what happened right there? It grabbed your attention. If you're nodding off because you're tired and thinking about drinks, now you're paying attention because people started laughing. You're like, wait, what did I miss out on? Whole point was that it caused a reaction. It caused you to pay attention to me for a few seconds. And what's beautiful about that is that there, you know, content online is unlimited. It is an unlimited resource. Now that we can all become self-proclaimed experts and whatever it is and create content and post on Instagram and have a podcast, I didn't go to school for any of that, but I do it. And I build an audience around that. Now that we can all do it, it's harder to stand out. Personality is the secret ingredient. Content is an unlimited resource on the internet. The limited resource that we're all chasing, time and your attention on me or on whatever it is you've branded, product, service, whatever it is you do. So that's the formula to write your social media bios. It doesn't have to be the same on every single platform across the board, but it certainly helps to have some structure to write that. Don't go jamming another website URL into your bio. There's a spot for that. One website, one link. Don't jam a bunch in there because we're only going to click one. Same with your websites. The more number of pages and content you have on your website, pages specifically, the more control you're giving up because you're saying to the user, hey, I've got 30 pages. I know you're not going to go to all of them. You're going to pick and choose. You let the user pick and choose which ones. Whereas if we can really work hard to keep your websites clean, easy to navigate, and the fewest number of pages possible, it means that people are more likely to look at everything that you're wanting us to see. Same here. Focus where you want people to go. And list your location. Sometimes people forget to list their location. They'll put like everywhere or anywhere or universe. Like that's cute, but you know, people actually find you based on where you are. Location is a great thing to have in common with a client. I love this newer feature compared to the others on Twitter. You can have a pinned tweet. If you don't have one right now, go pin something, or in the next few days, pin a tweet where you want to send people. I'll pin you know, blog posts, or I'll pin a picture and a link to my book. And I've had months where that's been the highest source of traffic and conversion for book sales, just Twitter. So use this to your advantage. Pin something up there that you want us to see, because people will take note. Oh, let's talk about this for a quick second. Your background image, your background color doesn't really matter as much as it used to. Set it to white and you're good to go under settings. But what you do need to think about customizing is your cover photo. 1500 pixels by 500 pixels. This is where we get a flavor visually of your brand and be creative. We see it on mobile, we see it on desktop. This is, you know, an opportunity to hit us with something. And to ask your photographer when you're doing your photo shoot that you're gonna do, because you realized from today's talk that that's something you need to do in the next few months. Tell your photographer, lots of landscape shots. Portraits are useless, unless it's going on your about page beside your paragraph, your bio. Landscape, landscape, landscape. If you look at the social media profile design of Twitter, Facebook, YouTube is the most dramatic. YouTube is like this skinny little ribbon. Everything, because of responsive design and people using these sites on all different devices, that's the direction everything has headed. We're there now, so catch up. Have your photography formatted so that it's gonna look great landscape, banner size. Your profile photo, I love this part. Your profile photo should be a picture of you on a good day. It shouldn't be a picture of you from the family reunion in 2003. I was actually kind of shocked by some of the pictures out there for some of the speakers. Some of these speakers need some better headshots. Sorry, but it's true. They bring me here because they know I'm honest, you know, but in all seriousness, it's important. And we're not pretending to be models or, you know, superstars, celebrities here. But your profile photo is important because it should establish consistency between you right here, right now, in person, and your online presence. So that's why, you know, think about how you feel, and maybe it's happened this conference. When you go meet someone and you've already found them online, and then you see them in real life and you go, oh, you know? That's not a positive experience. It's not. So I want it to be a positive experience. Go have a great photographer, or maybe you've got a friend who can take a great shot of you in your environment, and that's gonna work for you. And I do new photos once a year, because for me, I'm working hard to grow my business and evolve as a brand, as a human. As I evolve and figure out exactly what it is I'm doing, that also has to evolve on the web. That is a pixelated profile picture, and that is unacceptable. Welcome to 2016, where I don't want to see pixels and I don't want to see eggs. Is that too much to ask? Hopefully not for this audience. I don't think so. You guys are a savvy group. I know everyone's like, oh my God, hate the eggs, right? Yeah. So I ask that your profile photo look like you now and represent you because it's going to work in your favor as we establish consistency between you, the real you, and the online version. We're juggling two versions of ourselves. And that's key, that those experiences are consistent. It will work in your favor. So I, you know, have been teaching people this stuff. I started in LA, I worked with TV hosts. I've worked with over 1,000 TV hosts on building their brands. I worked at a school in LA when I, you know, within the first few years of moving out there. And that's where, you know, I went back to my students and I was like, what's the most useful thing you've ever learned from me? And they were like, Twitter, Twitter, Twitter. I have tweet types that I teach. There are four tweet types. Everything falls into four categories. So you can't say anymore, Phil, what do I tweet? What am I supposed to be doing on Twitter? I teach you how to write your bio, which I talked a little bit about today. And most importantly, I talk about growth strategy for Twitter. You should be growing at least 1,000 followers a month. And it's very easy to do, and it does not cost any money. It takes like a good half hour for me to explain how to do it, and I do it much more eloquently in the book, which is why I wrote it. So that's, you know, a little plug for that. Let's talk about social media and how stressed we all are because we feel like we need to be active on all of these platforms. And this is only a few of them. I'm only showing you 8 of the probably 20 that we have to choose from. I know there's people in this room from the corporate world. That's not my world so much. And there are a lot of small businesses and individual brands, smaller operations. If you can relate to this, you probably don't have a huge social media department, you know, doing stuff for you. So I always say, rather than being, there's only so much time in the day, rather than being mediocre on 10 platforms, be a rock star on 3. There's only so many, only so many hours, and I'd rather your time focused. If you give every single platform purpose, so there's a motivation behind everything that you're doing on every single platform, and I'll give you an example of how this changed in the last year for me, prioritize. And I'll be honest with you, my 3 are always changing. It's between Periscope and Instagram. Instagram has been, you know, I love to hate it because I'm an awful photographer. So my photos aren't great and I'm really picky and I'm a perfectionist when it comes to visuals, but I hire people to help with that. So for me, it's kind of been I would say Instagram has probably replaced Periscope, but I experiment with these and I have 3 that I focus on because I want to be really good at 3 and not spread across 10, which I don't have time to do. You know, you can have your usernames, you can have a basic presence on these so that no one else goes and scoops it up. But if you're a lean machine, you've got to focus your time and where your attention is going. For me, in the last year, Periscope has been a game changer. Pinterest. Pinterest makes sense for me, so I can't tell you a blanket statement which 3 are most appropriate for your brand. It's going to depend on what your brand is and what you do. For me, as a brand strategist, it's really important that I show visuals. I used to, you know, right-click and save into a folder hidden on my computer when I saw a branding project that I really liked. I was doing that while I was pinning, oh, I want to go on vacation here, or here are some cute outfits. And then I went, wait, Phil, why don't you take your own advice for once? What would I tell someone else to do? Well, I would tell someone to utilize the platform with purpose. And so when there's purpose behind what you do, so I went and deleted all my vacation shots and I curate great examples of branding on Pinterest. I started this refocus 1 year ago, January 2015. I had 800 followers then. Now I have 15,000 by doing 15 minutes a day. Sometimes every other day, sometimes maybe not even quite that much. But I work at it, and I do it with purpose. So that's a little bit about me. And I did that little camera icon to remind me to take a little like selfie once we're done with questions. I'm gonna get everyone to stand up and I wanna take a photo so I can Insta and tweet it out. Okay, so that's coming, something to look forward to. We probably have time for like one question probably. How am I doing for time? Probably not too well.
Yeah, we've got about 3-4 minutes.
Great.
So you ready for questions, Phil?
I'm so ready for questions.
All right. Who's going first? Oh, we have a hand over here. And Phil, are you going to be hanging around with us for cocktails?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Cocktails? Oh. Are you kidding me? I'm so there.
First off, thank you so much. I really enjoyed it. I just have a question. When you said to be a rock star on 3 different platforms, what is your take on everything's linked? So when I am on Instagram, I can, you know, connect it to Facebook, to Twitter. Do you think that that is, you know, kind of like overuse, like, oh, we're saying the same exact content on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Yeah. What's the point then of having 3 different social medias?
That is a great question. Linking everything is something I don't like if it's the only thing that you do. So your Twitter feed should not be a constant feed of add it on Facebook, Facebook link, add uploaded to Facebook, Facebook link. No, no. And actually, I learned this by being able to work with a YouTube celebrity as a client. And actually, I can't even take the credit for this. It was what she said to me one day, and I was like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. This was a few years ago, but she said, Phil, if we do the same thing on every single social media platform, then what motivation do people have to follow you on different platforms? So if you come out with a blog post or something big, it doesn't mean you can only post it on one platform. It means post at a slightly different time, switch up your post. It takes all of 15 seconds to just change the wording slightly. Make sure your brand voice is injected in everything you post. For example, you find a news story you love, you click tweet this, change what's been written for you because you're not the person who wrote that. Don't be lazy, add in a comment. Online, your opinion is your personality. Your perspective is how we define and understand you. Take 2 seconds to make sure that's attached to everything you do. So I think it's okay to cross-promote, obviously. I've got 40,000 Twitter followers. I've got 15,000 now on Pinterest. I want to cross-promote because that's where I'm strong, and especially to start to send traffic to some of the newer ones, like Snapchat. But that shouldn't be the only thing you do. That's how I would answer that.
So we're really out of time. I just want to make a quick remark. I love your comment about focus on the channels where they really fit you, because we're dealing with social media overwhelm. With all those channels that you referenced up there, you had a slide up there, and you said that's only a sampling of them. We are at that point of social media overwhelm. So that's great advice, Phil. Now, did you want to take that picture?
I want everyone to stand up, and get into my photo. Okay, this looks good. Is everyone smiling? I can see you. If you can't see the camera can't see you. Thank you. Give yourselves a round of applause.
All right. Thank you,
Phil. Completing day one.
Phil Palin.